You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSC has closed its doors for another day, so as it's a Wednesday, it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow with Skulk Lowe, portfolio manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak Division in Cape Town. But he's not in Cape Town now. He's in the beautiful little, I don't know if it's a hamlet. Yes, I suppose it must be a hamlet, Skulk. Still by. Has it exploded over the years?
Yeah, it's crazy what this little town, can't really call it a little town anymore. It's actually, you know, become quite a big town. And no, but it's still it's just wonderful place to be. I don't want to tell everyone. So don't tell anyone.
No, don't tell anyone. No, keep it a secret.
we all as Cape Townians know how that turned out. You know, with the old, what's that new word? Semigration.
Oh, yes, semigration. Yes, that's one of those ghastly words. Like, instead of being trendy, you say it's on trend and that sort of thing. Yeah, you're ghastly. But anyway, and the reason I brought that up is because it's Easter time, holiday time, and end of the first quarter. And when I used to drive, as I used to fairly frequently, to Plettenberg Bay from Cape Town, I always used to see the sign to still by turning right as you go towards Plett. And there would be a wooden boat there. And is the wooden boat still there on the road that turns right, or do you take a different route?
Oh, you remember well. Yeah, the wooden boat is definitely still there. It's now became quite a bit of an attraction. I mean, I often drive past the still by turn off.
Yes.
And I still need to find recollect a time where we actually drove past this wooden boat where I didn't see people get out of their cars and sort of take selfies of this boat or get photos of this. It's become quite a bit of a tourist attraction.
Oh, really?
So, they sipped it up. It's, I remember a few years ago, it, you could see since then they've now repainted it and they've got a bit of a garden around it. So as I mentioned, I mean, very much the tourist attraction. But you remember well, that boat is still very much there, alive and kicking.
Such a beautiful part of the world.
Sailing.
Well, enjoy your Easter break there. Skulk, we've got to talk about other things. Let's have a look at the JSE Stock Exchange News Service announcements today. And it's all the M's today, MetAir, Momentum and Old Mutual. And I think Old Mutual is probably the one that has caught your eye, whether you're an investor in it or other life assurers, I don't know. But maybe you could tell us if you've had a look at those numbers.
All the companies that you just mentioned, you know, guided very, very well. So I think this is the sort of the entrance point. I mean, we've had as you mentioned, Old Mutual, they came out with their full year results. They already released a trading statement or SENS announcement on the 12th of March, and already there you. We knew that this is going to be a really solid set of results. They mentioned back then that the headline earnings per share is going to increase anything between 18% and 38%. We know that when you look at the consensus forecast, and I'm using Refinitiv estimates, the Refinitiv estimates for Old Mutual was R1.34. So we already knew on the 12th of March that they're going to beat, because that 18 to 38% meant that headline earnings was going to come in anything between 152.5 cents and 178.3 cents. Now they came on the upper band. You know, they actually sort of surprised their own forecast of 2 weeks ago. They came in at 165.5 cents. Which really I think had the market optimistic with its overview. I mean, we had, I went through this and I thought, it really is currently looking attractive. And a very important point for Old Mutual, when you look at Old Mutual, you look at the embedded value or the intrinsic values of this company. And when you look at Old Mutual, Old Mutual is currently trading at most probably the widest discount compared to its peers. So I think when we had the actual results today, and I think with the fairly optimistic outlook, it really, as I mentioned, had a sort of a bullish market effect. Share price was a sharp 4%, 3.77%. in the green today, R11.84. I don't know. I mean, this is a company that's been trading around about this 10, 12 rand levels for as long as I can remember.
Yes.
But I think, you know, today we'll definitely take today as a win.
Very good. So that's a piece of good news for a South African company that's so steeped in history. Okay, now we've got to look at other things, and we have to look at the end of the first quarter, because this is the last time we'll speak in the first quarter, Skulk. And it's been good if you're overseas. It's been okay if you're from in South Africa. It started off really, really well. Went off to the races very, very quickly out of the stalls, and sort of faltered on occasion. But if you could generalise and say how the first quarter has treated you and your clients at PSG Wealth, how would you sort of describe it in a couple of sentences?
Well, we went into the year with a term called Magnificent Seven.
Yeah.
Now, you know, since then, that seven has dropped off three. It became Fab Four, and I think there's only, you know, the terrible twos left. I think it's only Nvidia that's left. So, you know, there will only be one. Lindsay, we had this discussion in our what we call the advice advisors quite recently. And this is where we sort of discuss what's happened over the past quarter and sort of what we expect for the next quarter. And, you know, when I think the biggest debate was, where did you find opportunities and you know, what was markets like? Now, the first point is, let's take the second one first. I mean, the markets were horrible. It's been not a good, you know, first quarter, because yes, I know the S&P 500 is up something like 9% or something on one stage. So, so if you did not own the S&P 500, or let's call it more specifically, if you did not own Nvidia, I mean, I don't think you've had such a great time in the market. So I think let's start with the first theme. The first theme is the Nvidia theme or sort of the tech theme. And that has basically held up markets in general. When we look at it locally, if it wasn't shining, you weren't smiling. And why am I saying that? Because if you did not have Richemont, now there's some shiny watches and jewelry.
Yeah.
If you did not own any Richemont or any gold mines, again, I think you would have had a pretty horrible JSE time as well, because the market's still negative and not really looking good at all. There's sort of a, I had this discussion last week, you know, when we talked about Remgro. And Remgro is still one of my favorite companies, but you could see the sort of this negativity towards anything South African when that results came out. Now I know they had some re-ratings when you value a company 6 months ago, and I'm talking about the old Distell, now called Heineken SA. If you value a company over 12 billion rand and 6 months later you realize you're not going to get that anymore, it's now, you know, only, you know, worth two-thirds. I mean, losing a third of its value in 6 months, you know, you're in for a sort of we're going to need to explain this type of environment, you know, for Remgro. But be that as it may, the rest of Remgro is pretty much just a South African Inc. company. We've had one of their holdings reported today, Momentum Metropolitan.
Yeah.
We didn't really talk about that, but I thought that the results were really good. And I actually told my team this morning that Remgro will be one of the companies that I'll be looking out for today, not necessarily the Metropolitan or Momentum one. I would actually look out for Remgro, because this will start giving direction towards their portfolio as well. So, but I mean, the rest of the portfolio, okay, Mediclinic. Mediclinic is not a pure South African hospital anymore, but still very predominantly situated in South Africa. We also know that they get a 15% of their net asset value is made up of outsurance, which is pretty much also predominantly, you know, South Africa. 5% FNB, 5% Discovery, 5% Metropolitan Momentum. So very, very heavily skewed towards South Africa. And I mean, just the fact that, I mean, the company was trading at a discount of intrinsic net asset value. We had that discussion last week, but 22% average for the past, let's call it 15 years.
And what is it now? 41% or something, you said, I remember last week.
No, it's 50.
Oh, my goodness me. How can this be? How can this be?
It's the general trend. It's that really, it's that confidence, that invested confidence in South African equities. And this is bringing me back to your question on the first quarter. If it wasn't shiny, you weren't smiling. If you didn't own Richmond, if you didn't have, you know, AngloGold, Goldfields, Harmony, any of my favorite stocks, I mean, really, this was companies that international investors sort of says, well, why do we still waste our time? Let's just sell these companies. Now, again, that create either an opportunity or, you know, in some cases, people will argue it's a value trap and it was great, getting rid of it. When I look at companies today that reported, you know, Old Mutual, still, you know, it looks like the company is doing really well. Momentum Metropolitan doing really, really, really well, growing earnings, you know, quite strongly, and still seem to be doing business. I think all eyes are going to be in the second quarter. We had the SA Reserve Bank today, you know, came out with the news, sort of totally expected that interest rates was kept unchanged. I don't think that's the surprise. I think the you know, all ears would have been on the direction. We know that.
And what was the tone with the governor? What did he say? We all knew it was going to be a flat liner, but was there any indication that they're going to remain hawkish, or will they slightly go to a dovish stance?
No, I felt that the indication was still very much hawkish. Bank at the previous meeting, they had inflation to average out at 5% for 2024. It came out today, they increased it to 5.1%. But they did mention that it should taper off to the latter part of the year. I they've made it very, very clear that they're not easing up on interest rates yet. They still highly convinced that if inflation give another shock or two, we'll have a different conversation in 2 months' time. So that was the feeling that I got. And then they mentioned a few other things, which I thought was not surprising. They said that load shedding did ease somewhat. We know that. I mean, here we're going into Easter weekend with Eskom announcing that there will be no load shedding. Well, let's hope that stays the way, but there will be no load shedding over Easter. And I think things are looking slightly better, not solved, not right, but slightly better, which could help inflation in a taper off. Remember, it's the base effect as well. We know that inflation did come off fairly high levels, and hopefully that base effect could see us go to lower levels now, but could see the SA Reserve Bank.
Well, let's hope so. And also saw some construction numbers today. I mean, new building, not new building, but gosh, I can't remember what the indicator is now, but I saw it flash across my screen. Construction index buoyant again. I mean, people are going out there and saying, okay, we're going to build stuff now and we're going to get back into it. So that's always a very good long-term leading indicator. So maybe South Africa has turned the corner. It's not going to rocket, but it certainly maybe have bottomed, Skalk.
No, they need to. I mean, I've told you about that data that I look at from Stats South Africa. That's specifically, you can look at the residential and non-residential. I specifically focus on the non-residential property in South Africa.
Yes.
Because that's sort of a leading indicator for business in South Africa. And I specifically look at the actual properties being completed over that period. And, you know, that data is extremely interesting. You had the early 90s, it's called early 2000, people were sort of worried, and you could see that they didn't really come out of the blocks and finish a lot of property. And then you had that whole property boom mid 2000s, and where, you know, everyone just wanted to buy and develop property. We had the recessions, you know, shortly after that, and it tapered down to the point now where we've seen the past 12 months buildings being completed lower levels that we've seen, you know, 20 years ago. I mean, this is crazy to see how little, you know, non-residential properties we are completing now. I've had this conversation with you and saying, well, that just shows how really distressed the current economic environment is in South Africa. But I mean, it also tells us that there's opportunity. And well, why am I saying opportunity? Because people still need this property. We're still growing. And that's why I'm not surprised seeing these numbers that you were just referring to. I mean, I do think that we're soon going to have such a situation where there's not going to be enough stock. And you know, the companies like, you know, Growth Point, Redefined, Resilient, for example, doing shopping centres, are going to, you know, look a lot.
So you think we should be looking at beating up property stocks? I mean, 2010 was the peak, or just before 2010, and now we're 2024, so we've had a decade and a half almost of terrible wealth-destructing performances. But, yeah, maybe it's time to have a look now at the good ones that will get the, you know, the cherries of the new construction industry.
Yes. Lindsay, this is definitely one of the areas where I find a lot of opportunity. And also, I mean, just add to that, we talked about Old Mutual trading at you know, one of its largest discounts relative to its peers. But, I mean, when you look at South African properties, you know, they are trading at massive. We're talking about the discounts, like 20 to 25% discounts to its net asset values. I mean, this is levels that we haven't seen in 20 years. I mean, not ever. I mean, we've seen these type of, you know, discounts in you know, early 2000s, and we all know how that played out. So yeah, I mean, this is definitely an environment where I'll be starting to nibble as well, just because of, you know, great prices and lack of stock. And when I say lack of stock, it's there's going to be even less stock, you know, going forward.
Okay, very good point. Okay, now I want to talk about something sort of broader, and I want to use Japan as an example. Although the difference between Japan and South Africa couldn't be wider, but on the other hand, human nature is very close. And no matter whether you're a Japanese or a South African person, in Japan, it's been 17 years since they raised rates, but they raised rates recently. The Nikkei Dow has thrown off the shackles of the 1980s and gone to record highs very recently, a week ago or so. Wages, 5.28% increase year on year, which was a 31-year high. Now, what happened to Japan in the 1980s was that there was a huge bubble. You couldn't buy a property in Tokyo because it was too expensive. You'd have to be a multi-millionaire, even a billionaire, to afford a two-bedroom apartment in Tokyo. So what's happening now? If I gave you this number, Skulk, $718,750, what would you say? I don't know if you've been familiar with the story that's broken today. $718,750. What does that mean to you? Anything?
No.
Okay, well, I wouldn't expect it. But you've seen the film Titanic, haven't you?
Yes, I've seen that.
Do you remember when what's his name? The Leonardo DiCaprio character.
What's his name? Jack.
Jack, yeah. Jack was clinging on to the wooden board, and there was Rose, who was also pretty cold, but she wasn't in the water. That was the sort of, not the final scene, because it went on after that, but a very, very impactful scene. He had icicles on his hair and everything. And there's a lot of debate as to why he just didn't climb onto the wooden pallet with Rose. But anyway, it wasn't part of the film. So anyway, he met his demise. They just sold the wooden pallet today at auction for $718,750.
No way. Yeah.
A wooden pallet. A piece of film or movie memorabilia. And I think to myself, there's a lot of people out there with a lot of money, and maybe it's just too much money and not enough sense. And I just start to think of bubbles as the S&P and the Dow and the Nasdaq keep on going higher. Maybe I'm just being a doomsayer. What do you think?
I think personally we're in an extreme bubble territory.
Definitely.
And not the whole world. Definitely not the whole world. In fact, we've seen this. We've seen the early 2000s where we had the thing called the dot com. I'm going to say dot bomb again, because again, previous time I said dot bomb, I was very quickly corrected. But this is just the fun name, dot com era, where we had a similar environment. You know, the top five shares back then in the S&P 500 made up just over 18% of the total. When I talk about back then, it's 1999. Top five, just over 18% of the total S&P 500 index. They were forecasting something like a growth rate of 18-odd%. They came in at 13, and all hell broke loose. I mean, we saw that massive valuations that was trading, and the markets not just, you know, was sold off, but we also saw the S&P 500 between May 1999 and 2009, May 1999 and May 2009, that 10-year period, we had absolute negative performances coming from the S&P 500. Now, let's call it 25 years later, you know, the top five shares within the S&P 500 makes up more than 25%. Of the total index, not just back then was over 18%. We know one of these companies are Nvidia, trading at exuberant, you know, not just slightly overvalued, exuberant in valuations. And my worry is, you know, if these companies, they are priced for perfection, and if they bring out
the slightest miss is going to cause a significant
correct.
Fall. That's what you're saying, isn't it?
Correct. If these five companies miss, and they correct them, and when I say correct, have a 25 to 30% drop, you know what effect that will have on the S&P 500, seeing that they've got 25% weight, carry 25% weight. And remember, because back then, and why I say, now I'm sounding like a doomsdayer. Come on, Lindsay, look what you've done now.
Well, you're instilled by. I mean, you can only have so much happiness. You've got to try and sort of balance your life out with a little bit of doomsaying. So anyway, go on. But I know what you're saying, and it terrifies me because everyone is so sanguine. Everything's going to be fine tomorrow. Every single commentator I speak to, apart from you, says, no, it's going to be okay. Don't you worry about that. Yeah, so what if it's a high on the S&P or the MSCI or the whatever index you follow? As soon as people take their eye off the ball, that's when you get kicked in a sensitive area.
No, undoubtedly. And I think all the other commentators you're referring to, none of them has got the size, you know, holding, you know, in gold like I do. So maybe I'm talking my book. But no, never ever me.
No, how dare you? I won't have it.
So I think that's just, I think, my point. And I think the one thing, you know, why this is, I think, to me, more worrying today, you know, 25 years later, because if you turn the clock back and you went like, what was that, Marty from Back to the Future.
Oh, yes.
Great Scott. I mean, if I can go back today, 25 years ago, and I go back and I go stand on the New York Stock Exchange and say, well, you know, people sell all the ETFs, you know, currently available. You know, I think I would have had a few people looking at me with these really dumb expression, you know, ETFs, you know, index. Index funds back then, but ETF wasn't a thing. I mean, today, I saw a let's call it data. I think in some, you know, place like the US, out of all the funds, ETFs or index funds make up 2/3 of the total funds already.
Terrifying. So, it's a terrifying statistic. 2/3 of the market is a collective investment, is what you're saying.
Correct. And if you get that these five companies, or let's call it a Nvidia miss, and it needs to be corrected, I mean, in terms of price, valuation, those kind of things, I mean, these guys are not going to say, well, just sell those five shares because, you know, most of the market are owned by the Vanguards and Black Rocks. They will just say, well, sell the market. It'll be effective. You just sell the S&P 500. So, I mean, I think I don't think we're looking towards a crash, but I do think that investors or listeners out there that's listening to this podcast should caution buying into the euphoria of a further.
Yes, but on the other hand, you know, as they say, it's not market timing, it's time in the market. And the fear of missing out, which is a subject that I covered yesterday with a personal finance person, you can't justify not being in the market. That's the thing, Scott, because if you look back in history, falling interest rates from a high, falling inflation from a high, it usually means markets are supported. So maybe we're just at the start. Or maybe this is just the first leg of a really, really big boom because interest rates will come down to whatever it was, not zero again, but maybe 2.5-3% or something, which is good enough, I think. Anyway, we're really sort of standing around the brine still by at the moment with our chatter. So let's have a look at the markets and get serious here, Skulk, because we've got the Rand at 18.90, very, very quiet, and will be tomorrow as well. British pound against the Rand is 23.86, and the Euro Rand is 20.45, Euro dollar 108.20. The gold price, your brother, 21.90. It's $9-$10 away from 2,200. It's up 0.7% today, or $15 an ounce. The platinum price is flat at 908, and palladium is down 13 to 979. Let's have a look at some other commodities. I noticed the CRB commodity index going to a new recent high today, 333.07 to be precise. And if I have a look at the all-important. It's been boosted by oil, of course. Crude oil in the States down today by 0.75% to 81.02. That's West Texas. And Brent crude oil, $85.52, which is down 0.9%. Natural gas down 0.9% as well. So it's a bit of a quiet day on commodities. The one thing that's been bothering me, the South African 10-year bond. And I don't know if you saw my tweet on X, it shows this massive saucer bottom. I mean, you and I are not technical analysts, but I do know that when a market bottoms out, it can do it in several ways. And one of them is a saucer. It creates a saucer formation. And the long-term chart for the SA 10 years looks horrible. Looks to me as though it's going to anything between 12% and 14% for the SA 10 year. Currently 10.83%. US 10 year is 4.23%, barely changed. And S&P 500 futures doing okay, up, what is that, 0.2% to 5,273. That's the June futures. Skulk, any comments on the bond market? I think we spoke about it, and you're not you're more an equities man than a bond man.
I'm well acquainted with bonds. Lindsay, we need to not make a long story short. I mean, technically you're right. It does look sort of and one or two things can happen to see that shoot up. We can have a political unrest. We know that because effectively what Lindsay is talking about, the skyrocketing of bonds usually is followed when you see a blowout on the rand. So when you get a rand that suddenly goes from 1890. On the dollar to 1950
the bond market follows. Yes, but this time, and I'm sorry to interrupt you because I feel quite passionate about it, is that the rand's been relatively stable. I mean, we've seen these numbers before, 1850 to 19 and worse, but suddenly the bond market has started to go. It's almost as though it's independent, or people are positioning themselves in order to position themselves in the bond market because the rand is going to go, and the desk next to them in some financial centre is going to be selling the rand. And they always say that the bond traders are the smartest of the lot, smarter than currency traders, smarter than equity traders, obviously not smarter than you, but, smarter than the rest of the market participants. That's always been a sort of financial services legend. I just look at it and I get a little bit nervous because it's the last thing that South Africa needs is higher interest rates in the market.
Yeah, that's what I said earlier. I think we I'm worried about commodities currently, and then this is sort of a tongue in cheek because I mentioned earlier that my love for some of these commodities, but I am worried about commodities because you know we've seen the oil price trending upwards. We've seen a lot of these harder commodities, your coal suddenly, your iron ore, your coppers. You know, suddenly these sort of leading, I would say something like a copper is a very much a leading type of indicator for some of the other commodities, not trending upwards. I mean, this is the big worry to me. I mean, if we get these commodities that suddenly shoot up again, yes, it'll be good for our current account because we a producer, we're a miner, we produce a lot of these commodities, which will be good for our it's called economy or current account, but over the shorter term period, it'll be difficult for our inflation and again for our interest rate. So it could be, but I think you know I still believe when you look at bonds yield something like a inflation plus 2.5. That's more or less the band where bond should you know that's your performance which you should be expecting you know going forward. You know, when you look at a long bond rate of you know 10.8% and you listen to what the Reserve Bank says, well, we believe we're gonna get inflation back to the mid range, which is 4.5%. That's a massive. I mean, we're talking about inflation plus 6. This is equity like returns.
Yes.
So we talked about a value proposition and a value trap. So if you're talking about value proposition, I mean, I think our local bonds are looking fabulous for a value proposition.
Maybe they'll look more fabulous in the future, and that's why I don't know enough about the supply, and I don't know enough about South Africa's standing in the global bond markets, but it looks horrible to me. That's all I'm saying. Okay, stocks moving today. Pan African Resources up nearly 4%. Telkom up nearly 4% as well. It's trading at 30 rand a share. That's pretty good. I've been negative of this stock and been hopelessly wrong. Old Mutual up 3.75%, off its highs, but still good after its results today. MC Group, a little bit of corporate tussling going on here, I think. 112 Rand 61 per share, up 3.5%. Downside, Implats down 3.75%. Anglo Platinum down 3.7%. Sibanye-Stillwater down 3.2%. You see the theme here? Exxaro down 2.9%. And Northern Platinum also completing the digging picture on the downside. It's the downside diggers today, down 2.5%. Anything else that caught your eye today, Skulk?
No, I think the one that I mentioned earlier was Remgro. I was, you know, I know for the listeners out there, I mean, Remgro also up close to 3% for today.
Good.
Maybe just a bit of a recovery. I mean, maybe the story is like I said, the likes of Metropolitan might look good, and that's where certain people will start looking for opportunity. So yeah, I think that was the only company that really caught my attention besides the usual PGM suspects.
Very quickly, the JSE closing indices, please, and the value traded.
So the JSE today closed at 73,910 points. That was up 41 basis points. The resource index, as Lindsay mentioned, with the PGMs you know, dropping off a bit, 24 basis points down. Industrials up 95 basis points, while the financials up 30 basis points. Even the SA property, you know, found themselves slightly in the green, up being, you know, 4 basis points for all the top 20 or top 40 lovers. So, you know, 67,679 points, also up 40 basis points. When we look at the West currently, the Dow Jones currently 63 basis points positive, S&P 500. 29 basis points positive, and NASDAQ, this is interesting, NASDAQ bucking the Dow Jones and S&P 500 trend. Yeah, they are currently 5 basis points down, and we mentioned NVIDIA a bit earlier. I see NVIDIA is taking a bit of a hiding there today, so let's see how that this story goes.
We shall develop this theme next week. Skulk, have a wonderful Easter in Stillby. I can't hide my jealousy. But anyway, Skulklow is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak Division in Cape Town and sometimes in Stillby. And that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.